当地的这么吃给破光了。
Good afternoon. And, as we celebrate this Communion Sunday, we want to really pray for Pastor and Sandy's safe return, but also for their daughter. I'm not sure what the update is on her health, but we need to continue to pray for her and her recovery, and just the thanking God that He was able to give Kermit and Sandy that time to spend with her. That means so much. Sometimes that's better than medicine. And also, we need to pray for one another. There's many in this room are going through things, are being tested. And the Bible tells us we need to pray without ceasing. And that's what He means. We need to pray for one another. We see each other and we know about each other's lives, but there are intimate things that we don't know. Those are the things we need to pray about. And as we learned this morning in Power Hour, God knows everything. He knows our hearts. And sometimes we pray and we don't tell Him everything, but He knows everything. And I thank God for that.
Amen.
Because when I'm embarrassed or shy to ask Him for something, He already knows. And He loves me enough to give it to me anyways.
Amen.
If it's going to benefit me or Him. So prayer is important. This morning I want to talk about, do you really know? Do you really know how special you are? And no, I'm not talking about your honey telling you, oh, I love you so much, you're so special. Am I the only one that hears that? I'm talking about how special you are in God's eyes. You know, as we read the Word of God, He's not bashful, He's bold. He tells us exactly how special we are in so many ways. In fact, He promises us so many wonderful things, and He delivers each and every one. Do you know what your purpose in life is? You know, growing up, one of my brothers, I told you last week, we were four brothers living in one room, two sets of bunk beds. And one of my brothers would, every once in a while, cry hysterically, repeatedly saying, why do we have to die? Why do we have to die? And my mother and father would come into the room and sit with him. And you know, I never really listened to the reasoning, to his question. But I did know that throughout his childhood, he would always ask, why do we have to die? For me, he was messing with my beauty sleep, to be honest with you. And no, he wasn't crying every night. But you know what? Christ is the reason. You know, Christ is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's the one who gives us everlasting life. Christ is our purpose. And do you really know God has called you to respond? Do we know that for sure? God is asking for us to do something. In every case, He asks us. He's not telling us. He's asking us. From the very beginning of time, God's love relationship with us was not one-sided. That's why He gave us a choice. He gave us a choice to respond. Now I ask you here today, is there anybody here who had an arranged marriage? Anybody? No. Of course not. It's a choice that we all freely have. Right? You meet somebody, a woman, the man of your dreams. Like I said last week, you get weak at the knees, you sweat. You can't wait till the next time you see them. You just drop them off at home and you can't wait to go home and call them up and stay on the phone for hours and go through that scenario. No, you hang up first. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. Right? I'm not the only one that went through that. But you know what? We have choices that direct our lives. We make choices that encourage us, hopefully, to make the right decisions in life. this afternoon, I want to go back to a verse that is so well known. Sometimes I wonder, how well known is it? Sometimes it can be overlooked. It's that good old verse, John 3:16. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Do you ever notice when you listen to somebody sharing the gospel, you hear their views and their heartfelt words that just seem to grab onto you? Has that ever happened to you? The other day, as I was driving down Hamner towards Norco, I was listening to the radio, and the message was on John 3:16. And the guy giving the message said, "Do you know there's 25 words in this verse? And right in the middle, the 13th verse, is the word Son." Man, he got my attention like that. I was stopped at a red light. I had my eyes fixed on my radio, like I do when the pastor's up here. At least I'm going to tell him that. No, you know what I'm talking about? When something you hear is interesting, you grab it. Yes. You want to hear.
Yes.
But you know, when I first heard John 3:16, I actually put my hand on the dial because I said to myself, "You already know about John 3:16. What's on the other Christian station?" Right? But once he said that, he got me, and I was sold. I was in. I wanted to hear the next word, and I heard the horn honking behind me because the light had turned green. So as I proceeded safely, I waited to hear his next words. And he said this: in these 25 words, the first 13, God is telling us what he's going to do for us and how much he loves us. "For I so loved the world that I've given my only begotten." Let's not even get to the word Son yet. He loves us so much, he's willing to give his all, his precious possession for us, so we can have a relationship with him. Because we messed up. Not him, we. Has this ever happened to you? When you hear the Holy Spirit say, "Hey, pay attention. I really want you to pay attention." See, this all started with me because I'm a numbers guy. My wife will tell you. She'll throw numbers at me and I can put numbers together. Sometimes she says, "I think you rehearse this stuff when we talk about the bills." I've always been that kind of person. When you talk about numbers, no, I'm not a gambler. Okay. But when I hear numbers, it for some reason it just catches my attention. So let me go on here. So he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." You know, on Thursday nights, we're talking about, in Bible study here at the church, the names of God. And in the first lesson, we talked about God, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. From Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 through 14. And this story is about Abraham. And Abraham is instructed by God, bless you, to do something with his only begotten son, Isaac. He's asked to take him to a place to, he's paying attention, to sacrifice his son. I don't know if I'd be able to do that. But you know what? God knew Abraham's heart already. God knew his faith. God knew this man was going to obey his words. Wouldn't it be great if we could say, "God, you know me. You know my heart. You know my faith. You know my obedience level. Test me." Do you know that he tests each and every one of us daily? But if you read the word of God, you know that he's never going to allow us to go through any test we can't handle. Right? And to top it off, he's with us that whole time. Man, in that alone is such a blessing. When he talks about the middle word, Son, Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. Just like Abraham and Isaac, God provided the ram that was stuck. Right? He provided. Before Abraham left, the two men that went up with them and went with Isaac, he told the two men, we'll be back. Not, I'll be back, because according to what God wanted him to do, only one was going to come out of that. Right? But in faith, he knew God was going to provide. That's the faith that I want. That's the faith that we need.
Yes.
Because this world isn't a good place to be in. Look around. We can't even look at the news anymore. Because even as believers, we get depressed. We get angry. And God says we need to rejoice. And we need to pray. Pray and pray and pray. Because that's the only way this country is going to change. Until He comes for us. Because we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And that really touched my heart this morning when I heard that in Power Hour. And I thank God that sometimes when I prepare for a message, I don't read the Power Hour message. But I praise God the way He puts them together. And it's not just when I'm up here, but when a lot of messengers are up here speaking the Word of God. You ever notice if you're here for Power Hour, it coincides? You ever notice when you come to Thursday night Bible study, God puts it together? That's a perfect package. No surprises, but filled with promises. That's encouraging. That's inspiring, and that leads us to want more. I'm telling you, if you think you're busy and you need, you just don't have a spare time to come to Thursday nights or Power Hour in the morning at 11 instead of worship at 12, come one time. And I guarantee you that Holy Spirit, hey, pay attention, we'll have you. Because God doesn't fall short on His promises. Something to think about and pray about. So then the last 12 words that says that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, these last 12 words talk about Jesus and what He accomplished. He came to this earth as a little child. I could picture Him playing with all the little kids. I could picture Him doing the things with all the little kids. Whether they played soccer, baseball, cricket, or whatever they did, fishing. I'm sure He was just a plain boy. But He was God. He was perfect. And He was on the path that His Father wanted Him to be. He was our example. And I thank God that He still is today. So many people out there are following others' so-called examples of how they should be, even to the point of their death. But I only know of one that has rose, and that's our Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what. If I want to live forever, I'd rather go with the guy that I know rose from the dead.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's my assurance.
Yes.
That's my assurance. I'm going to go. But these 12 words give us a promise, an investment, life insurance. But there's one thing that may get in the way. Do you know what's been said, that many will miss heaven and eternal life by about 18 inches? See, that's about the distance from your mind to your heart. And yes, even a verse well known as this verse, John 3:16, is. So many people have it memorized in their mind, but they forget to apply it in their heart. Those words, believe in me, Jesus says, if you believe in me, in my death, if you believe that I went to the cross for your sins, he gives us that promise that he's going to come into our hearts. And we will never be the same. In Jesus' name. What a blessed thing. But you know, sometimes this verse can make us think, I know this verse. I hear it all the time. I see it almost in every sports event that I go to or see on TV, right? Very well known. But if we don't apply it, what good is it? He gives us that free choice. Don't let 18 inches get in the way of your eternity. We need to believe in what this verse says. When I look at the meaning, believe, is accepting something as true. Feel sure of the truth of something. Are you sure today that Jesus died on the cross? Are you sure today that this same Jesus that rose from the grave and is seated at the right hand of the Father is the same Jesus that we believe in our hearts? And the same Jesus that we want to follow? I would like you to consider these 4 points. The first one is God's love. Like I said earlier in the first 12 words, it's all about God's love for us and how special we are to him. We are special. Don't ever let anybody say you're not special. We talked about this morning in Power Hour abuse. A lot of us in this room grew up in abusive homes. And sometimes we carry that chip on our shoulder, even as believers. But God says, give it all to me. That's why my son went to the cross. I want to take that from you, and I want to give you the perfect peace that can only come through the cross when you believe. Love in action. Without hesitation, God sacrificed his only begotten son. Without hesitation, he quickly, freely, eagerly, cheerfully, gladly gave his son Jesus. That's how much he loves us. Salvation, the deliverance from sin and its consequences, believed by Christians to be brought by faith in Christ Jesus. We are saved through our faith. Sometimes, and I hear it quite often, people question their faith. And they question their eternity. And they find themselves doubting if they're saved or not. God doesn't make mistakes. God knew from the beginning of creation, each and every one of us in this room, we belong to him, belong to him. Signed, sealed, and delivered.
I'm yours.
I'm just keeping up with the theme this morning. And eternal life. So you guys ought to come. You have a good time. Eternal life, the promise given by the death of Christ to those who believe. It's so simple. It's so simple. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, these 4 points in this verse that I talk about, even in this popular verse, show how special we are to God. Through Christ's example of obedience, he shows a love for our Father, his Father, and for us. Repeatedly, you would hear Jesus say what? You only see me doing what the Father does. I and the Father are what? One. What an example for us. Do you really know? Will you allow those 18 inches to get in the way and stop you from truly believing? Will you allow those 18 inches to stop you from following, to truly accepting what Jesus has for you? Don't let those 18 inches get in the way of your eternity. You know, you hear it all the time. Sound, mind, and body. Your heart is part of your body. The Holy Spirit doesn't live in your mind. The Holy Spirit lives in your heart. Allow your heart to speak to you before you speak. That's my problem. A lot of times, I don't allow the Holy Spirit to finish what He's trying to tell me. And I open my mouth. And I thank God that my best critic is now the critic I don't ask the question to quite often. I used to ask my wife, what do you think of my sermon? She would tell me the truth. I used to practice on her at home. I don't do that anymore. She's very honest. But I will tell you this, I thank God for her because she has the Holy Spirit in her. And sometimes I see she wants to speak, but she waits. I just think she's polite and waiting until I finish. But I know she's already going to tell me what the Holy Spirit is telling her. And most of the time she's right. The times that she's not right is the times where I feel prideful. And I don't let her tell me. So the Holy Spirit and I, you know, I thank God that the Holy Spirit has given me a heart to be concerned about salvation, to be concerned about understanding God's Word, to be concerned about staying on the path, and also being concerned about knowing the difference between our mind and what we think and our heart and what we feel. Like Abraham, when he started his relationship with God, he didn't know everything. It took time. Just like with us. Nobody here, like I said, nobody here has had an arranged marriage. Right? Nobody here was told, tomorrow you're going to meet your husband for the first time and you're going to get married. You're going to fly to New York and they're going to meet us there. And the wedding's at 4 o'clock. Right? We took our time. We got to know one another. And when you get to know one another, you get to know the good, the bad, and the ugly. Right? The good we hang on to. The bad we correct. And the ugly we thank God that He's there in the midst. Right? Because in all three scenarios, it takes three to become one. God has to be in the center.
Right.
So as I conclude my message here, I just want to let you know, God loves you. This simple verse that we hear, well known, John 3:16, requires us to respond. Like every other verse He gives us, every other promise, He's asking us to do something. Do it without hesitation. That Holy Spirit that is telling you to do it, and I know the Holy Spirit is, because the Holy Spirit will not let me off the hook. Whether it's writing a letter. Yesterday at the market, I told my wife, I need another book of stamps. She said, I just bought you one last week, Ralph. Who are you sending letters to? I said, whoever the Holy Spirit tells me to. Back in the day, I wouldn't fly without one. I wasn't going to write for God. But you know what? I thank God that my wife knows me. And she knows my heart. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is in you. And it gives us the peace and comfort. And yes, it even convicts us. But you know what? I thank God that it does. Because in all three of those ways, I know who I belong to. Again, belong to God. The world we live in, we need to be examples for God. We need to be walking Christ-like believers. Because this world is hurting. This world is suffering. Our families, our children, they need good examples. And even with godly examples, sometimes the gravitation for evil is too strong for them. But the Word of God that is engraved in their hearts through our examples and the Word that we share with them lasts for eternity. And we have the promise of knowing one day God is going to reveal to them, today is the day that you're going to make that decision to receive me as your Lord and Savior. How do I know that? Because I can remember, I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning. Because I'm getting older. Some of you can relate to that. There's things I forget. But I'll tell you what, I can remember the day I got saved in 1977. I remember it like it was yesterday. I can tell you the man's name, I can tell you where he lived, and I can tell you while I was on the doorstep on my knees crying that Friday night in the rain because I needed a Savior. And I thank God that His Word does not come up void. So if you think you're out there and you just say words and people aren't going to listen to you, don't worry about it. Because you only do one or two things. You're either planting the seed or watering the seed, and God does the rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning, Father, this afternoon for everybody here. As I'd like to believe that everybody here is a believer, Father, I pray for anybody who is questionable, who has that doubt, even if it's to know you for the first time and ask you into their hearts, or to rededicate their lives and say, I don't want those 18 inches to get in the way of my eternity with you, Jesus. I pray that they will just take a simple verse, John 3:16. That so special verse, where God, you tell us you love us, and your Son is a sacrifice for us because of your love. And if we believe in Him, we will not perish, but have that promise of eternal life. Father, as we get ready to go and do communion, I pray that you would just touch our hearts. Help us to examine ourselves. Help us to do whatever we need to do to reconcile our lives with you. Help us to be a better example to others. Help us to have a heart for others. Help us to pray for one another. Help us to be what you've called us to be. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. We get ready for a communion. I'd like to ask our